Auburn misses out on Julian Phillips as the talented small forward picks Tennessee over Auburn and a host of other schools. What does it mean? What does Bruce Pearl do with that last remaining scholarship? We tell you on today's Locked On Auburn.
Well, Zach, I actually just finished crushing some chicken farm, and I am freaking ready to rock and roll.
You are Locked On Auburn, your daily podcast on the Auburn Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, welcome on into Locked On Auburn, your daily Auburn Tigers podcast. I'm your host, Zach Blackerby. Thank you so much for making Locked On Auburn your first listen every single day. The Tigers miss out on Julian Phillips, and here to help us break it all down is Justin Hokanson, the man over at auburnlive.com and On3. Hoke, you posted to the corner message board on the site the morning of the decision, and you're like, you know, my gut is Tennessee, and you nailed it.
Yeah, I mean, things change in recruiting a lot, and I would say with NIL, it's just going to exacerbate that. Because, you know, if it comes down to an NIL decision, well, that can be changed real quick.
Yeah.
We're not talking about feelings or something that could change maybe over days. I mean, if you're looking for an NIL deal, well, that could change overnight. And so, you know, I think Auburn was in good position a week ago. And I think at that time it's because NIL wise, Auburn was competitive. And that changed, you know, Tennessee in the last, however many days, Tennessee made the decision. They really wanted Julian Phillips, and they weren't going to lose him. He was too important to their basketball program and the momentum of their program.
Right.
He wasn't as important to Auburn and where they're at in terms of what Auburn's got coming in their class. And look, Tennessee's collective has a lot of money, and they're shelling it out. And so they just made a decision that they wanted him more. And so their NIL offer was a considerable amount more than both Auburn and the G League.
What's the rumor? What's the rumor of the number of it? Do you feel comfortable answering that?
I'm glad you asked. So the rumor of the number, and I think it's important to preface these numbers with, you know, we don't know for sure. There's things that could go into it, like, hey, if we make the postseason, maybe there's more in it for you. Or if you stay a second year, maybe there's
different. Are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to make it incentive-based?
I'm fairly certain you could do things like that. Like, hey, if you make postseason, well, there's more opportunities that could open up, kind of thing.
Interesting. Or okay.
If not, it could be something that's just said, hey, if we go to the NCAA tournament, we'll make sure there's more opportunities for you.
Yeah, you sign more autographs or something like that. Yeah,
gotcha. So you got that going on. And the other important thing is, I'll say the numbers. So the rumored numbers were $2 million for Tennessee and right around just under $1 million for Auburn and G League. Now, I'll say I'm fairly confident in those numbers.
Okay.
I'll say that. Regardless, and I'll also say this, regardless of if Auburn would have, you know, increased their NIL offer, I'm fairly certain Tennessee wasn't going to let that gap close too much. If Auburn came back and said, all right, whatever, we'll do it, Tennessee was going to come back again, from what I understand. I mean, it was very important to them that they got that deal done. So, and the other thing I was going to say about NIL numbers is, and look, I'm giving you rumors, like, so you could take this into account, me too, but I would just, you know, I think everybody's got to kind of be a little bit careful about NIL numbers.
No question.
And this is why. And a lot of times I think it's going to be, I'm telling you those numbers based on the school that didn't get him. I think a collective doesn't want that number getting out. Not really. They don't need a cash grab from another player coming. Hey, you gave him $2 million.
Yeah, it's so, like I'm better than him, or I'm close. 13th.
He was 15th, and I'm 13th.
Right.
You don't want that. Right. You don't want that to happen. You don't want obviously other schools to have too much of an idea of where you are going to land with these kids. Now, Auburn knew Tennessee's number. Tennessee knew Auburn's number. When you're in there with the family, and you're probably going to figure it out, but they don't want that widely known necessarily. And so you got to be careful when you're hearing some of these numbers reported, and just kind of, you got to take things into account. Who's reporting it?
Right.
You know, I mean, cause there's a lot of incentive. If you're a collective, if you're Tennessee's collective, there's a lot of reason for them to tell, let's say their media people that they communicate with, to tell them a number far less than that. Hey, you know, we got him for $500,000.
Yeah.
leak that number. They're okay with leaking the wrong number. And so then it comes out, oh, they just paid $500,000. Then you don't have kids coming up wanting $2 million, and it keeps things, you know, under control. So it's just an interesting aspect as we get into NIL, just understand even that with these numbers. And if you hear a number like reported, take a lot of things into account.
Right.
But, you know, if it's just, hey, this report says that this was the offer, probably a chance it's more than that.
That's interesting.
Anyway, I just think we're trying to navigate it. It's just important to know. But, Tennessee just made it clear that they very much wanted Phillips and made him a priority. And that's the market. The market, like I told somebody, the market is efficient. It's not always rational.
There's no question about that. So when do you think this deal, I guess, or potential deal with Tennessee formed? Because it really seemed like a week ago, the people I talked to at Auburn, and it sounds like you were kind of in the mindset too, that Auburn was in the lead for this kid. Am I misspeaking on that? Or did this kind of develop a little bit over the last week or so?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Auburn, I think Auburn felt really good about their position.
Sure.
I know, you know, and it wasn't just, look, Jamie Shaw, the On3 basketball analyst. I mean, there were people out there that said they thought Auburn was in the lead.
Yeah.
They're completely, independent in terms of Auburn or Tennessee. I think at that time, the NIL, the deal, the packages were less and they were closer together. And I think Tennessee came back and said, we're not losing this kid. I think they made a push and substantially increased their NIL number. To a number that Auburn was not going to go to and the G League was not going to go to. They were not losing that kid. And they were going to keep a substantial gap in there to make sure that it wasn't a deal where Julian Phillips, let's say, said, well, they're offering me $200,000 more, but I love it more there. And if I go, that's just such a small amount when I'm going to go in the first round next year. They were going to make sure that that gap stayed enough that it was going to be really hard for that family and your whole family, you know, with Julian and the family.
No, I mean, that's life-changing stuff. I think
it's something that developed that last week. I think they were at a certain point. And then I think Tennessee came in really strong and just they put a package together. Their collective did a good job and Auburn wasn't going to go there. So Tennessee decided it was worth it. The value, he was very valuable to them. They only have one kid in their class,
right?
Committed. Rick Barnes, you lose in the postseason again. There's some angst there.
Right.
They want to keep the momentum going in that program. Landing Julian Phillips was a great way to do that. So his value was higher for Tennessee than it was for Auburn.
Do you?
And that's what's weird is it's weird to even talk about that NIL because NIL's.
Oh, this whole conversation
we're
is weird.
This conversation Hope. And it's like it. You feel like you're talking about like in the old days, but we're really not. It's totally fine.
Yeah, I mean this is a weird conversation that we're having, but it's important. Do you get the impression that Auburn could have gone to $2 million or could have gone higher, but they just chose not to because it needed to be spent elsewhere? Or is that all they're really capable of doing?
Well, you know, is it all they're capable of doing? No, but they're not paying, you know, if $2 million is the number, they're not paying $2 million for a basketball player. I mean, they're not. I mean, like,
do you think there's a player that's being paid $2 million at Auburn?
No.
Okay.
I mean, well, now I don't know all the details of like Jabari. You know, I don't know what Under Armour now is in with him. I don't know. Like, I don't know what went into maybe, you know, hey, down the road, like, let's get you hooked. I don't know how that all worked, but
yeah.
No, that's just a number that I don't, as of right now.
That's a big number.
They're
man.
Not comfortable that with that number at all. Number. At all. I mean, there's just not. And if you think about how good do you have to be to play 1 year and actually the ROI on $2 million would make sense. I mean, even think about Jabari, everything he accomplished this year, Auburn wins the regular season.
Right.
Like, I guess you could make a case that somebody like what Jabari did comes in, regular season championship, national freshman of the year, could be the number one pick. That's probably, I don't know all the numbers, but I feel like you could make a case for something like a $2 million number, not for a guy that's going to come in. You probably make the tournament. He's going to be drafted 15th. I mean, that's like what Schumann got drafted. I mean, so
right.
that's a wild number.
Yeah. I mean, it would be interesting to see like, cause I think he kind of reminds me of Schumann a little bit. And so it's like when he leaves Tennessee, it'll probably be after this season, but maybe even after next, it'd be interesting to see who had the better collegiate career, him or Chuma Okeke. And it's like, I wouldn't be shocked if it was Chuma. I know Chuma had 2 years. It took him towards the end of the second year to turn it on, but I don't know. It's hard to get drafted higher than Chuma did. Like, it's just tough. Not many kids do it. It's 14 a year. Yeah. Like, that's tough.
And I think on, and it'll change, but I think ESPN came out with a couple of days ago, kind of a look ahead. And I think he was about 15th in their kind of really early mock draft. Julian Phillips was to the Cavs. And so if you're Auburn, Phillips was going to be icing on the cake for Auburn. They've got three kids coming in. They got a scholarship left. He was a guy that, look, was going to LSU. Tennessee's been on him longer. They thought they had him at one point. Like, Auburn came in late and really almost stole him. And so he would have been icing on the cake for what Auburn's bringing in and what Auburn's going to be next year. The real impact of Phillips, well, one, he goes to a team that's going to be competing with you for the SEC championship. So that matters. That helps them. It hurts you in that way. But really what it does for Auburn, it's going to put a lot of pressure. Not that there already wasn't, but it's just going to put more pressure on Alan Flanagan. He is going to have to get it together. He's going through workouts right now with some combine stuff. He's going to come back.
Yeah.
He's got to get his mind right. He's got to get his mind right. He's got to get healthy.
Right.
He's got to quit turning the ball over. Like, he's got to develop into the player that we know he's capable of being. If he can, if he can, he's better than Julian Phillips next year. If he gets his mind right, Alan Flanagan's better than Phillips next year for what he'd bring to Auburn next year. I'm not talking about NBA career. I'm talking about next year.
Yeah, Alan Flanagan, Auburn mind right,
true freshman Phillips. Flanagan's a better player, but he's got to get his mind right. And then, of course, Chris Moore behind him. Both those guys are just – they're going to have to come on, and Auburn's going to have to trust them to step up to the plate.
Yeah, you got to assume Jalen Williams will rotate in there as well. Hoke, you mentioned that that one scholarship spot remaining. Let's talk about what Bruce Pearl – and the Auburn basketball team could do with that in just a moment. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. Look, summer is right around the corner. Hey, for some folks, summer may already be here. You're going to be traveling. You're going to be on the go. And Built Bar is the best tasty and healthy treat to bring with you wherever you go over the next few months. Every Built Bar is covered 100% in chocolate. And all of them are very high in protein, very low in calories. It's crazy. They're good for you, but they taste like a candy bar. Ton of different flavors. There's something for everyone. Go to built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off. That is at built.com. Hoke, before we jump into the conversation about that one more scholarship, tell folks what all is going on at auburnlive.com.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of recruiting right now. Obviously, we got baseball. Baseball teams trying to do what they can to host a regional. So you got baseball, and then really it's recruiting, man. Football, spring visits, offers going out, a little bit of basketball, but that's kind of wrapping up now in terms of basketball recruiting. So we're about to enter that time really of recruiting and baseball, you know, kind of leading into the summer, that sort of slow time when we hear about all of the things that we don't care about. But that's what makes the message boards fun. Look, this is the time of year where you join Auburn Live, hop over on the corner and talk about Auburn stuff or anything else you want to talk about. This is the time when you can kind of have fun with it before it gets really serious again with football. So yeah, it's we're always busy, man. Jeffrey and Cole do a great job. So we're very appreciative of the community that we've built.
Yeah. And I think it was Jeffrey wrote about two guys in the transfer portal taking official visits this weekend. That's what we'll talk about in just a moment, Hoke. But what does Auburn basketball do with this last scholarship spot? One, do they do anything with it? And two, if they do, is it a shooter? Do they wait for some of these guys to come back and, you know, pull their name out of the NBA draft that are still in the transfer portal? What are you thinking this looks like?
Yeah, I think right now I'm not even sure they know. I think that it's possible that you wait and see who comes out of who pulls out of the draft, and maybe you grab somebody late.
Okay.
I don't think that they're going to feel pressured or pressed right now into getting somebody.
Okay.
I think the roster of what it looks like, I mean, I think there's a chance for it to be it's a good roster. Couple of holes, but I don't, you know, can they go find a shooter? Is that, you know, I don't know if there's somebody out there at this point that they really, really want that they could go get. People keep throwing around Tevin Brown. I still am not sure that that's going to happen. I mean, he would have to pull out of the draft, which I'm not sure he's going to do that.
Okay.
I don't think he's given any indication that he's going to do that. So, we'll kind of watch him. I guess anything's possible, but at the moment, I don't have an indication that that's likely right now.
If he pulls out of the draft, do you think it's likely?
I guess so, because I think at the moment the people I talk to are like, well, he's not pulling out. He hasn't given any indication he's pulling out. We haven't talked to him, you know, so there's really nothing to go off of. If he pulled out, sure. Because look, the kid's from Mobile,
right,
and really likes Auburn. I mean, I think the funny thing that happened on Twitter actually had an impact between him and the Auburn fan base. So yeah, I mean, if he was an option, if he came back and looked like he was going to come back, then yeah, I think he becomes an option. And boy, whew, you talk about a perfect fit,
no question,
and hitting the sweet spot of what Auburn needs. But right now, I'm just saying, he's got to make a decision before that becomes reality, and that's pull out the draft. And right now, there's no indication necessarily that he will at the moment. So anyway, past that, they're not pressured to do anything. We'll just kind of wait and see what happens. I mean, they're not going to add – they were only going to add Julian Phillips because he was pretty talented. They don't want to go get another forward. You got Jalen Williams. You got Yohan Traore. They're not trying to pile another power forward type guy in there. And so really, I think it comes down to, can you go land maybe a shooter, somebody to stretch it out, or give you an option.
Does the shooter have to be a three, or can the shooter, is there room for another guard on this team?
Yeah, that's the tough one. I mean, those guards, I mean, as it is now, somebody like Zepp, who I know you love, I love Zepp's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, his minutes are going to go down a little because of Chance Westry. And, and then Trey Donaldson a little bit, but Chance Westry is going to play a little one, play a little two. And so Zepp's going to hit, you know, so then if you talk about potentially bringing in another guard, that's a shooter, somebody that can stretch the court, you know, whatever, stretch the defense. Yeah, it could be tough, and it could be hard to get that guy because he's going to go, you got Wendell, KD, you got Zepp, you got, you know, he might go, I don't know.
Like Trey Donaldson's pretty good. So like, is this worth it? Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, be interesting to see. All right. So yeah, let's talk about some of these transfers and what Auburn football can do to kind of help shape their roster in just a moment. Today's show is brought to you by our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline.net continues to be the number one source for all of your betting needs and sports info. On yesterday's show, it was a betting show geared towards, you know, what are Auburn's odds to win the SEC championship? It was 66-1. So if you're feeling juicy, feeling dicey, head over to BetOnline and take advantage of some of those lines. And you'll see that BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, from live betting, playoffs, esports, and more. Bet online, where the game starts. All right, Hoke, your guys over at AuburnLive.com talked about a few transfer portal guys taking official visits this weekend. What, it was a safety and a defensive lineman, isn't that right?
Yeah, Craig McDonald, a safety from Iowa State, and Morris Joseph, a defensive lineman from Memphis, will both be on campus. The safety, McDonald's got 3 years of eligibility. Joseph, the tackle, has got one. Again, at this point in the portal, I think we all kind of know what the situation is.
Right.
Post-spring, these are kids that, you know, Auburn has some needs in terms of depth. And that's kind of what safety, defensive line, receiver, probably more, they need playmakers. And I think they're hoping, you know, that when you get Worsham, I think that's a hope that, okay, he's got some athletic ability. Maybe he can develop into somebody we need.
Isn't DeZalen Worsham kind of like the, I don't know, like the ideal of like what you're looking for at this point? Like they're lottery tickets, right? It's a guy with 4 years left of eligibility. And it's like, all right, like there's a chance you could talk yourself into this guy being great for the Tigers in a year or two. Like that's kind of what you're looking at this point. And I think Worsham is perfect for that.
Yeah. I think that's a good way to look at it. And that's important to just have. So I think having the right perspective, like about where you are in this process and the transfer portal, we're not immediately after the season. This isn't where we are. Yeah, somebody like Worsham, you're like, okay, he's Under Armour All-American. Okay, he's got a little ability. He's got a little speed. You know, there was, I don't know what happened at Miami. I think he's a wild card, but he's got the athletic ability to play in the SEC. We need to find playmakers. Yeah, at this point, yeah, let's take a chance on him and see if he develops. And I think that's just where we are. So when you look at McDonald, the safety, or Joseph, the lineman, now those two positions, I think Auburn's, it's more about depth. I think they've got decent players there, like potential playmakers. I think they just need an extra player at that safety position, an extra player at that defensive lineman, just to add depth. They don't necessarily need they're not looking for a star at the line. I think they've got some potentially some guys that can get the job done. They just need maybe another guy for depth. Same thing at safety. So we'll kind of see if those guys sort of fit the mold. It's just, man, I don't know what you expect from a guy that come in post spring and what kind of impact he's going to have in the SEC for this team next right. year. It's tough. At this point, you're really just trying to add a little bit of depth and shore up some positions, worst case scenario, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and there's a few positions, Hoke, where, like, I think there's real concern after this season. And, like, I know a lot of Auburn fans aren't excited about the offensive line this year, but it's like, well, right now, it's like, I don't know who the offensive line is next year, you know, after maybe all of these guys leave. Zaire is probably the one that's most likely to stay, assuming he even is the starting left tackle. And it's like all the other ones are either super seniors, seniors, or Keandre Jones, who may be a draft pick. So it's like you're probably not getting those guys back. Then the defensive line is interesting because, like, they're loaded this year, but they're all gone after the season too.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you look at that offensive line, tough spot that Auburn was in and Brian Harsin and Will Friend were in, because you've got all these guys that decide to come back. You know, you've got some guys that decide to come back for their fifth or sixth years. And so on one hand, that's good, but then that pretty much eliminates you any ability to go land an impact transfer.
Right.
So,
well, I don't know. We say that, but, like,
yeah,
they fought tooth and nail to get a tackle. And, like, both the tackle spots were open going into spring, right?
Well, I mean, yes and no. What I mean, these transfers, I don't know. I think these transfers right now, they're looking for sure things. They're saying, hey, you got a spot wide open? I mean, if you say, hey, well, we don't have a returner, but, like, here's our – then they're looking at going, okay, well, that's a lot of guys. Like, I'm going to transfer with 1 year to maybe not start. I think the guys with 1 year, the guys that can make a quick impact, they want to play now.
So you think the handful of starts for Zaire and Troxel is enough to be like, there's an easier path somewhere else?
I would lean that way. I
mean, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. Every kid's going to think differently. But right. I think Zaire and Troxel are two guys that probably played enough football that make a kid go, okay, if I can go 1 year, I just think those guys are looking for a sure thing.
Yeah.
As close to a sure thing as they can. Like, hey, our starter last year is gone. We got a freshman in there and that's it, or whatever it is. You're the guy.
Right.
And so it definitely impacts things. And so then it puts you in a tough situation next year because you weren't really able to shore up anything because you couldn't track them or you couldn't land them. And then now we'll see next year. You can't use that excuse next year, right? Like, so no. When you lose all these offensive linemen, now you should be able to go maybe make hay. In the transfer portal. It's just, Harsin and them got to get through this year. You got to get through this year and then try to land the transfers and rebuild an offensive line for next year. It is a tall order right now for that staff and to get through the next 2 years and to stave off what happened in the offseason, to try to build momentum. There's a lot of work that has to be done over the next 2 years to make that happen.
Surviving is what, seven? Got to win seven? Or does six? Ooh. Does six get them there?
I don't know.
And if you don't want to talk about this right now, we don't have to.
No, it's fine. It's. I think it's the question. I mean, I think it's the question that's. I mean, once the season starts, it's going to be every week, every time they win or lose, it's going to be the question on. Okay, well, where do they got to get to? Because we're not going to be able to predict where the influencers, the people that had an impact on what happened in the offseason, we're not going to have an idea of where they're at. Game by game, if he gets to six, seven, like, will anything satisfy him this year? I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean,
no
clue. And Hoke, I've talked about this, but it's like, I'd love your thoughts on it. A year ago, when Harsin was hired, and, you know, I think there was positive morale throughout the fan base and throughout the program, even with guys leaving, it's like, okay, that's fine. This is Harsin. He's changing the culture. We all need that. But we all realized as soon as he was hired that this was going to be a build. This was going to be a process. And then somewhere between a year ago and the end of last season, the goalposts moved. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say so. I mean, you remember that Penn State game? It was like, whoa, you know, Kirk Herbstreit coming out talking about how just give Harsin time.
Yeah,
and
it's
all
like, it's like we belong. We're there. And now
I think it was like a combination of. I think it was a combination of things. A combination of recruiting on the outside wasn't going. like it had been,
right?
Not to that elite level. I mean, you know, say what you want, Gus and that staff, they recruited a lot of really elite players.
Do you hear that sound, Hoke? Do you hear that sound? That was six people commenting on YouTube that Gus was not a good recruiter. And I roll my eyes every time.
Look, the only place he was in his offensive line, if you look outside of that, he landed, there was a lot of good players that his staff landed at receiver, linebacker, you know, defensive line, like different players.
Yeah.
But I think it was a combination with Harsin of recruiting kind of not feeling like it's hitting on all cylinders. And then the season starts to go downhill. You collapse to Mississippi State. Bo Nix gets hurt. You know, then it was just kind of one thing after another that you could paint it in a negative light against Harsin if you wanted to. Bo Nix leaves. Well, geez, that's a 3-year starter, a guy that loves Auburn, and he didn't even like Harsin. Well, that's Harsin's fault. Like, it just was one thing after another that just – then he had guys leaving.
Yep.
Then he had the investigation. It was just one thing after another that made you go, is it his fault? Is it, like, what's going on? And then I think behind the scenes, there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of people trying to stir up animus towards him, and he's not the guy, and he's not recruiting, and he's not doing this, he's not doing that. And some of that stuff's true, and some of it's not true. And so it was just a few negative things happened, and I think people behind the scenes took it and snowballed it, and it became something that it impacted it in a negative way. Now we say all that, and then now that everything came back, I think he's got more fan support now than he would have had if that series of events didn't happen. I think people were like, that's wrong. What happened? Some of that stuff was wrong. So I think, but like we talked about, fan support's only part of it. It doesn't matter if he goes and wins 8 games and the fans are happy, but the people behind the scenes are still pissed. I don't know what you do with that. I mean, you got to raise money in the NIL. You got to go get kids. And if there's boosters, I'm just speaking hypothetically, but if there's boosters going, you know what? I don't care. I don't like him. I'm not giving $2 million to the NIL collective. I don't like Brian Harsin. Like, what do you do with that?
I don't know. You make sure it goes to basketball. I genuinely don't know the answer to that.
It's complicated right now.
It's so complicated. Hoke, thank you for your time, brother. One more time, how can folks sign up at auburnlive.com?
Yeah, man, auburnlive.com. We always have a week trial for free. So go sign up for a week. It's free. Go pick a week that works for you and hang out for a week and see how you like it. But, man, we've had a lot of fun growing it. So auburnlive.com. Appreciate everybody for joining us. And thanks to you for having me on, man. I appreciate it.
Of course, buddy. Yeah, I have 2 written Auburn written content subs. It's you and it's Jay Ferg. So be sure to check those guys out at auburnlive.com. It's worth every single penny. All the recruiting info, all of the banter at the corner, ton of good stuff. We'll be back on Monday right here on Locked On Auburn.